The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked, "Which ones?" Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Today I'd like to speak about the saint that we celebrate today, that I doubt that many of you know much about this saint, but he's very, very important especially for Hungary. And I don't follow politics too much, but I know this. It's about the only country in Europe that's fighting against the LGBT. So we got to be thankful. The president of this country is not accepting the United Nations and their whole idea of promoting the gay agenda. And I really admire this man. He's getting a lot of heat. But let's pray. At least you've got one country in Europe that is fighting against this poisonous agenda that's spreading through this country. And I'm going to be studying this more and more. You're going to be hearing homilies on this. Okay? I gave one last week at the 6 o'clock Mass as to the poisonous effect that this transgender reality is poisoning so many people. So you're going to hear a lot of my homilies are going to be attacking this. Because after abortion, this is the moral evil number one in our country, as well as the world. Abortion number one. But the transgender agenda is number two. Because abortion destroys babies, but the transgender, the LGBT, destroys families. You destroy babies and destroy families, we're going to go down the tube. We're going to go down the tube. So, as a result of the saint we celebrate today, 1,000 years later, still we have a strong Catholic country that's defending biblical truths as well as natural law. Natural law and common sense. Okay, today we celebrate, I haven't even mentioned his name today. His name is Saint Stephen of Hungary. So maybe get to know this saint a little bit better. Saint Stephen of Hungary. He lived 1,000 years ago. When Hungary, like almost all the countries in Italy back until about 200 years ago, there were little duchies, feudal estates. There was no unification. He was the one that unified Hungary into one country. They're all little countries that were fighting among themselves. So he was chosen. He asked the Holy Father to crown him as a Christian king on Christmas, the year 1000. You want to be crowned as a Christian king, not for glory or self-aggrandizement, but because he wanted to use his power to bring Christ into this country, to impregnate the society with Christian values. We would call that today, using the terminology of Vatican II and John Paul II, the evangelization of culture. The evangelization of culture. Now, there's much to be said, but he utilized three tools to evangelize his country. And they are the following. Are you listening? Okay, I want to make sure you're listening, okay? Okay, number one is when he was baptized at 10 years of age, Christianity was entering a little bit into Hungary. It's like Our Lady of Guadalupe. Christianity, we've got some Mexicans here. Okay, when Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared, the Spanish missionaries were converting a few. Then Our Lady of Guadalupe converted the whole country. So a very intelligent king, he recognized what would be one of the best ways to bring Catholicism to Hungary. How would you do it? Very, very intelligent. He brought the most highly educated people in the world to do the work. Who were they? Okay, 1,000 years ago, the most highly educated people in the world were the Benedictine monks. Very interesting. The Benedictine monks, they were the ones that transmitted culture, religion, art, poetry, as well as the faith into Europe. And this is back with St. Benedict, right? In the year 400. So they're well established, the Benedictine monks, in Europe. So St. Stephen invites the Benedictine monks to come from the two best Catholic countries in the world back then, which would be Italy and Germany. The Germans are known for their high intellectual culture. They've got some of the greatest philosophers come from Germany. Edith Stein, right? You've heard of her? So they bring the intellectual, cultural, religious reality from Germany and Italy. So they open up monasteries. But what are they say? You monks, you got to get out of the monastery. You got to get out and you got to preach. You got to be missionaries. Which was against the normal rule. If back 1,000 years, a monk would live in a monastery, they'd never leave. But he was, get him out. Go in the churches there, preach these people. They don't know the right hand from their left hand. What a brilliant idea. Let's pray that we'd have the same intelligence as this man today. I always pray for apostolic creativity as myself. I say, where's the spiritual wind going? And wherever it's going, I try to follow the wind. I try to follow it. So that's the first thing he did. And the second is this. How brilliant. Years ago, I've always been a missionary priest, but one of my missions, I went to Paraguay. Do you know where that is? A little bit south of Argentina. It's a small country in South America that has about 100 million people. So I went there to go on mission. One of my days off, the seminary brought me into one of the most prominent churches in Asunción, which is the capital of Paraguay. And it was a beautiful church, which the Franciscans had basically depicted in art, paintings, murals, stained glass windows, sculptures of the whole church was like a living catechesis. Wow! Like St. Peter Chanel, right? The whole church was like a living catechetical lesson. Now, I'll ask you why. Why did the Franciscans insist upon making their church into a living catechesis. Do you people know how to read? Any of you know how to read? I know how to read. I have a degree in English, huh? You know how to read? How many people could read 1,000 years ago? Hello? Basically, the Benedictines, the kings and the queens, but the simple people in the agrarian society, they couldn't read. They didn't have to read. They just had to marry, had 15 kids, and to milk the cows. So that church was built so that the missionaries would be able to teach them by pointing at the sculptures and the stained glass windows and the statues. How brilliant! How brilliant! And the third thing he would do was this. Now, I'm not doing any personal promotion now, but they told the people, you have to respect and honor the priests. I know we're going through a difficult time, but you people are at the mercy of the priest. You hear me? If you get a lousy priest, people are going to suffer so much. Even more so a bishop. Like the McCarrick case, you know what I'm talking about. But you get a holy priest can save 1 million souls. Who did we celebrate 2 weeks ago? The Curie of Ars. I have a relic of the Curie of Ars, a first-class relic in my room. The devil said 5 of the Curie of Ars could destroy his whole kingdom. 6 holy priests destroying the kingdom of the devil. So I'd like to preach another hour on this saint, but one last idea. He wrote a beautiful letter to his son who was going to become his successor, to Emmerich. His son died in a horse accident. But did you know that Saint Stephen and his son are both saints? His son is named Emmerich. So you parents, make sure that your son and daughter become saints too. The most noble mission of parents and grandparents, some grandparents here, you want to make sure that your son and daughter become saints. Saint Stephen of Hungary, pray for us. Amen.